Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit, and it has many parts. And all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free. And we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly, the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, does that mean what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like He wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones that we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, fourth miracles, gifts of healing, the ability to help others, leadership skills, different kinds of tongues. All aren't apostles, are they? All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of healing, do they? And all don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they?
Thank you. Hey, would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this precious moment. So now it's the bidding prayer of these your servants that you would take the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and make them acceptable in thy sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. It is in your name, God's people said. Amen. We have walked this journey so far in stage one of this series called The Body. And today we take another step, and in part two we want to talk about little toe love. Little toe love. If my sister Cheryl, who has known me all of my life,
was here, she'd tell you one of the quirky parts of me is that I'm one of those guys that has everything in its place and a place for everything, to the point where if the lights are out in the room and everything is absolutely pitch black, I could probably walk through the room without making too much of a fuss, much of a hit. I probably wouldn't bump into too much, and I probably could tell you everything that's in that room, where it exactly is. I'm weird like that. However, I've discovered that I'm not perfect that way. This year, I've hit my little toe on the edge of the bed more than I can ever remember in my life. And if you're like me, it's not the big bumps that hit you and hurt you the most. It's the little ones when you least expect it. I remember the last time I did it, it was a couple of months ago, and my wife would call this over-exacerbated necessary conversation for no one except yourself. In other words, when I hit my toe, I went into what she calls premier drama. And I just bowed and fell to the floor, and just for a half hour, I just stumbled around, and you would have thought I would have had major surgery and some other things happen. And I hit my toe, and I bowed and said whatever else. Now, the real truth is, if we can be honest for ourselves, all of us, when we hit that little toe, the truth be told, just that little toe, we may not say what we're thinking, but we're thinking what we want to say. Anybody want to be honest about that? That pain is unique and distinct, and it makes you evolve into people and persons and things you never thought otherwise possible. Just the little toe. I mean, the little toe. Do you know over the last 10 years, those who go to malls and other places who have that practice of making their pretty toes look prettier have increased that industry by over 150%? Do you know we spend as much on our toes as we spend washing our cars? This little toe. I did some research as I was preparing for this some time ago, and what I discovered is historically in the scriptures, going all the way back from Leviticus chapter 8, 32 and beyond, the toe had significant honorable meaning. Regardless of its station or how cute it looks, that's why guys don't, most of us don't wear the sandal things. It's not our thing, you know what I'm saying? But at least for me, it's not my thing. It's just not my thing. I like to keep my stuff my stuff. But it does have a place to honor. Historically, beginning in Leviticus 32, when they would turn over a ring to another king or something like that, three things would happen. One, they would kiss the ring, which would distinguish honor and authority. Two, they would kiss the foot, which would mean I'm fully submitted to you. And the very weird thing is, third, they would kind of twist the little small toe, meaning that's the place I'm going to live in underneath you as long as I'm serving you. Now, no one likes touching toes and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But I just want you to understand, this has biblical meaning to some degree, this whole little toe fact. In fact, the Hebrew word for it, and I can't say it well, so I'm not going to try to, but here's what it says. It means great, listen, great toe. It is the reverse of our own English diction. And what it means is this, is that the smallest part of what we think is small is actually the greatest part of what should be lifted. Paul, having been a great scholar of the Hebraic text, understanding the 66 books which created the canon way back in AD 55, used some of his knowledge of this to write 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as a result of that, we hear these scriptures lifted for us, in particular, as was read so ably, thank you for that, verses 15 through 23 are the places of great weight for us today, because as we now know, this whole image of this toe has more feeling and more significance than we thought. It says this, beginning of verse 15, if the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, does that mean it's not part of the body? Verse 16, if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean it's not part of the body? He goes on to say, and I'm going to skip all the way down to verse 20. But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Do you know how significant your little toe is medically? Would you be surprised that it is composed of three separate bones of it all in one? And that the middle bone is really the one that makes the difference? It really is the thing that allows us to keep our balance in the middle toe, which has three bones to it. It's the middle part, which is the furthest back in the foot that you cannot see, that determines the level of ability you have to keep your balance. The little toe, which is known biblically as the great toe. The hidden part of it, which is interesting as we relate to Hebrews, I'll get to that next week a little bit, has the most significant grace to our lives because it allows us to keep the balance of living faith and loving people. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to love people with little toe love. You see, we have this practice in our society where we want to be great, and the greater we can become, the more significant we are, and the more our name is known, the more powerful we think we can become. And listen, and the greater weight we can make on authority, the stronger we feel. Paul, the first bishop of the first century church, acknowledging that in the throes of what is this Corinthians church, this church that you now know from last week in our historical study of the text, means a mess of people who were looking for the miracle of God, understood their need for attention and the weightiness of this world. And he says to them, listen, he says, verse 12, he says, chapter 12, he says, listen, the body is one unit. Remember last week we talked about that show, The Unit? I hope that you've got, the body is one unit. And in verse 20, I love that phrase. I'm going to keep going back to it time and time again. Here's what it says. It says, but as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Let me reach back and go to verse 19 real quick. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to that body? What's your point, Troy? Here's my point. That often we obscure the littlest thing in our lives, thinking that that has little significance, when really, quite frankly, it may be the very thing holding everything else together. And to this text, I got to just tell you, I wanted to teach a little bit today. I have discovered that there are some indicators to really loving in the way that gives us equipping power to love even the littlest part of who we are, which will help us live our lives a whole lot better. So I want to offer these to you, and then I want to get out of your way with one caveat. There's an exercise I want to start today with this beloved congregation. Here it is. I want to tell you that the body of Christ is a unit put together for a purpose. Remember, we discovered that last week in our text in verses 12 through 14, that really the whole point of the body being created was not that the individual parts would be lifted, but that the whole unit would be glorified, that the whole body, if it functions well, if it's fitly framed together, as it says in Ephesians, if the whole body works together, that somehow the purpose that they live out, the mission of what they accomplish, is greater than the mundane nature of the individual parts. And as a result of that, if they live that out fully, they'll discover that they will fulfill the task that they have been created for. If that is the case, and we believe it the case to be that the unit is a body and the body is a unit fitly framed together for one purpose, which is the mission of the church, the fuel of that church, the thing that makes it go, is its love for the parts that make it its whole. And as a result of that, I want you to find the indicators like I found them in this text here. You can know that you have this love, which is the fuel that allows you to be the body, to put your own individual desires to the side and see the greater purpose for what you're living. One indicator we discovered by reading the text is that a person who lives this little toe love are people who have affirmation of acceptance of God's creative work. Affirmation of acceptance of God's creative work. Verses 15 and 16. Here's what it says, just in case you've forgotten the text. I want to read it to you time and time again this month. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, does that mean it is not part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean it's not a part of the body? So you see, affirmation comes when you accept the fact that each piece is distinctly God's glorification of his own purpose. I have this phrase that I say sometimes that I have learned to affirm and accept for myself. I offer it to you just in case you need it sometimes. Sometimes I say, you know, you may not like me, but you won't forget me. I say that for two reasons. One, I know that I'm never going to make everybody happy all the time. And number two, I have to decide that I'm going to love me for me, that God made me for me. In fact, it says in the book of Genesis, God saw that it was good and said that it was good, and it was good. So let's add ourselves to that. God saw me and it was good. God said it was me and I was good, and I am good. And whether anybody else affirms me or not, I'm okay. Now, that does not mean I'm not perfect, but it means I'm good. Notice the text. It says I'm good. Doesn't say I'm perfect. I'm a work in progress. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God never said that you were going to be perfect all your life. It just says that you were good. And that's great news, because you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be good. And in that, you have to affirm the fact that God created you, and you have to accept the uniqueness of who you are. In case you haven't figured out, every person on the face of the planet is weird, and you are included in that process, and that's cool. Everybody has their unique process. Everybody. If you don't believe it, just watch them for an hour, and you'll find everybody does something different. They're just weird out that way, and that's cool. What is even cooler is you don't have to apologize for being that unique person. You're a designer's original. You're one of a kind. And because of that, God made you just like he wanted you to make, so that he could refine you in that process. And as a part of that, you could be a fully developed body or part of the body of Christ that glorifies God if you get on mission. Number two, little toe love gives us clarity as an indicator when we learn the process of acceptance of one's unique role. Accept one's unique role. Do you accept your role in the body of Christ? Have you accepted who you are and whose you are? In case you don't hear that clearly, look at the text, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verses 17 and 18. Here's what it says. Listen, it says, and if the whole body were an eye, what would happen to its hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to its sense of smell? But as it is, God's placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. Notice, he put Moses where he wanted Moses, and put Deborah where he wanted Deborah, and put Joshua where he wanted. No one would have thought Job should have been in the middle of the book, but he was. He put Josiah where he wanted him, and he put Jeremiah definitely where he wanted him. He put Paul where he wanted him. Put Jesus just where he was needed. I need to tell someone in this room, you are just where you're supposed to be at the time you're supposed to be, with the gifts and graces that God has called you to be, and that's more than enough. And if you will just flourish in the faith that God created you for such a time as this, the body of Christ would be blessed beyond measure, and you would help us grow in ways you cannot imagine. But understand, gain affirmation for the uniqueness of who you are. And that's a gift. And by the way, affirm somebody else's gift. Everybody can't sing like Eliza. Everybody can't play like Dustin. Everybody can't do tech like Nate back there. Everybody can't usher like Alan. Everybody can't be a steward of money. That's okay. But if you will do what you do well, if you will do it as King said, do it so well that no man can do it any better. If you'll learn how to love your little toe like God loves your little toe will stick out so well, you won't even have to worry about getting attention. You'll be so good. People will be so glad that you're there, it'll be fine all by itself. My daughter, who's in urgent care right now, she has this thing she does where she's a sausage fiend. I guess because her mother's from Mobile, I guess it just transferred into her bloodline. I don't know, but she eats sausage like it's going out of style, and so she's trying to learn how to cook sausage. We don't have a culinary kitchen for chefs. We just got a kitchen. So my wife buys this sausage and forgets that my daughter hadn't learned how to cook. So she turns the heat all the way up on the sausage. Well, by the time I get home, what was a clear day becomes a cloudy day in my house because she has burned up everything she can find. Now, she's getting better. It's taking time. She's getting accustomed to it. She's getting used to it. But here's the point I'm making to you. No one can love sausage like Autumn, but a lot of people can cook sausage better than Autumn. But God didn't tell me to rebuke her because she cannot eat and cook sausage as well as others. He told me to love her for the sausage lover she is. I just got to deal with the rest and help her work that other part out. It's just going to take time. Leads me to the third thing I want to offer you as Paul writes to this church. By the way, never forget, the church was never perfect. In fact, the church of Corinth was such a mess that he didn't go back just one time, but he went back twice to talk to them about how to live. That helps you to know that being better is a process, not a perfected state. That too often we expect perfection from people who are impure and don't have purification at the center of their being. It's why Christ came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It leads me to this third point. Little toe love gives us the indicator when someone is doing it well, that they have appreciation of every part, for each part has purpose. Now, appreciation does not mean that you have to connect with that part. The foot doesn't have to connect with the ankle or whatever this part is that I can't remember right now. I'm just kidding, the elbow. The eye doesn't have to connect with the lips. But it just has to work. And it has to give space for that other part to exist. Would it surprise you that 20% of the work in the church gets done by 80% of the people? And 80% of the work in the church gets done by 20% of the people? Thought, what would happen if for just one month 80% of the work got done by 80% of the people, and the other 20 got done by the 20%. See, when you affirm this process, when you give yourself the ability to love someone in spite that of the fact that they don't do what you think they ought to do, but they do what they can do well, when you learn to appreciate every part and just allow that to be what it is, amazing things happen. Amazing things happen. So just free that part to be what it is and not what it's not. The series, the unit, Jim commented to me that he really appreciated the unit, the series, the unit that we talked about last week. I watched all of them, Jim. I watched all of the first year. I watched all of them this week. And there's some troubling moments in this series. There's some members of Delta Force that go awry. There are some that unfortunately don't come back. They have all kinds of trouble, and sometimes they are without their full capacity to live in all of their functions. So they have to cover one another. But when every part is on the field, covering is a lot easier for the sake of the mission. Here's my point. You're never going to be at full strength every time. But just give it the best you got. Together. Together. Now, I'm going to throw this in as a bonus because I'm from Cleveland. Anybody know that they're a 17-game winning streak?
I know.
Can I tell you they got some people on injury reserve? I can tell you that they've had some home runs hit on them in these last 17 games? Doesn't matter. They're just playing together. If the world ever needed to see the church play together, it's now. Just play together. And just accept every part that's on the field. There's a final piece. I know I know lunch awaits, but there's a final piece that I want to offer you. People who know that they're loving in this little toe love kind of way can see an indicator that very few people can see. Here it is. They see an acceleration of affection towards the parts of the unit that are often considered less necessary. I didn't say this at the first service because I wanted to make sure I had this exactly right. But according to Christianity Today, the least effective gift the church is using now is prayer. The average clergy is praying a minute and 32 seconds a day. The average laity, 47 seconds a day. And so, I want to invite you to a moment. The band's going to come in just a minute, but I want to give you this access to this because we all can't preach, we all can't sing, but we can all pray. So we've called this month, this church-wide prayer month. And I want to invite you, as you have seen it in your bulletin, to engage with us this gift. Notice what it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It's right there on that flyer we've given you in the bulletin. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians chapter 4, 2. Now, it doesn't tell you when to do it. It doesn't tell you how to do it. It just says be watchful and thankful. What would happen if we just pray for the rest of the month over four areas of our ministry? First, one another, as we're the body of Christ. Wouldn't it be rich for us to embrace what Paul says and activate our lives in such a way where we pray for each other and not other ways? Just pray for each other. How about this? Pray for your clergy. So we've given you and invested in you in a specific sheet that I told you about earlier, so you won't have to think about prayers and how to find those scriptures. We want you to have those. And if you'll just pray, and you don't have to pray all of them every day, just pray when God calls you to pray. You don't have to pray all of them every week. You don't have to pray for them all every week. You can just say, Lord, help them. However God calls you to do that. How about number three? How about we pray for St. John's so that we can be more hopeful and get healing in the areas we need to get healed and be even, listen, more holy for his purpose. And how about number four? How about if we pray for the world? Really pray for the world. The Bible says this, if my people are called out by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, and pray. 2 Corinthians 7:14. I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. What if we did that? What if you engaged and go beyond your appreciation and your affirmation to extend yourself? What if you join me this coming Saturday morning as we offer drive-through prayer, as we ask the community to come and just give us their names, we'll pray for them and give them something that they can leave with, something that will encourage them. What if we began some prayer groups, some men's and women's prayer groups, and some unified, combined prayer groups? What if somebody was to, from this congregation, decide, you know, once a month before Troy goes in and prays or preaches or Reverend Katie does, 15 minutes before service, I'm going to pray with the preacher that God will speak through them and not speak of them. Got the chance. We can do it. Let's try it. That's what little toe love is about, to taking the least and making it the most, to making that which is least honorable and making it more honorable. So as the band comes, I'm going to start us off. I'm going to start praying. And then if you want to pray again, you can do that while they're leading us in worship. Maybe you'll want to come to me and say, you know, I can do that, Troy. I can be at your office at 10:45. I can pray with you as you get ready to preach. I can meet you on Wednesday nights when you start that new blueprint service and pray with you there. Who knows? Who knows what God will do? Ready? Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for reminding us what it is to be in activated care for one another, to take this text out of 1 Corinthians 12 and make it purposed in our lives, to be the body, to be the unit of Christ, to not let someone be on the battlefield for the cause by themselves, to do what you call us to do. We thank you for the gift of the ministry known as prayer. Thank you for this opportunity to have your power reign over and upon us. And we give you praise for what you're going to do as we consider how you're calling us to go beyond our comfort and live in the courage of what it is to be in your presence. This we ask in Christ's name, God's people said. Amen.